Isaiah 43. Jump right in verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. Streams in the wasteland. Dear God, I ask you to bless all of us. And I can't help but think, Lord, as this has been with me morning, noon, and night, morning, noon, and night, now for 2 weeks, that maybe, Heavenly Father, there will be something in the sharing of it that would stir hearts and bless. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Forget the former things, because the Lord is doing a new thing, and you do not need to be living in the past. And living in the past is, I mean, people can think about living in the past because if someone has something in the past that are their golden memories that they want to hold on to. And I can understand wanting to hold on to precious memories. I mean, I think of my father. I think of Mary Carasiolo. If you would come in my office and we would look around, I have keepsakes from people that have past that I loved in my office. I got this little elephant in my office from Elwood Sundin. I loved Elwood, even though in his last years in life he used to fall asleep all the time. And he would sit in the front row over there, and sometimes he'd fall asleep with his mouth wide open. So he'd go, and I had a couple ladies in the church that wanted to help Elwood. So they'd go over and they'd sit behind him, and as soon as the snoring would get really loud, they'd start poking him. So it didn't matter what I was preaching. The whole congregation is looking over watching the Elwood thing. But I'll tell you what, it didn't bother me at all, because Elwood is like one of the greatest human beings on planet Earth. He wouldn't spend a dime on himself. He spent all of his money. He faithfully tithed, but that was only the beginning. He gave money to help people all the time. And it was only at the end of his life, when I was in his house, that I realized how much he embraced simplicity so he could have money to help others. At the end of his life, we realized that he had no heat or air conditioning in his house. And there's a bunch of us in the church that got together and we got an air conditioner put in. And but there would be times when there would be these ministry needs where Elwood would be right up front, one of the first to give, and a very generous giver to help out with people. So, every time I look at that elephant, I'm reminded of a person that is just so giving and giving and giving. There's a good memory. But, you know, I could sit and feel bad that people like that are gone. And, you know, sometimes you catch these posts on social media, people like, oh, we didn't used to be like this. We used to have this, this, and this, and this. And some of the folks' memories of everything in the past was wonderful. And today, everything's going down the tubes. Well, guess what? If you could go back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there were people then that thought that things in the past used to be wonderful and everything's going down the tubes. We tend to have selective memories. The truth is that the past is just that. It's in the past. It's gone. You can't bring it back. It's done. And too much time and energy focusing on it is going to be time and energy that is going to take away from living right now in what you got. And you know, often it's in that looking in the past that sometimes Satan will try to whisper things in your ear, things you don't need to be dealing with. And the word of the Lord is that we need to forget the things of the past. They might be great things, it might be lousy things. Just take all of them and just kind of let them go. don't dwell on them. He says, because I'm doing a new thing. Now, in the New Testament, we find something similar with Jesus' teaching. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, I'd like to share with you there. Jesus was not what folks were expecting. Jesus was a disappointment to some. I know it sounds so sad to say that, Jesus being a disappointment. But there were those that just hoped that he was going to be this military leader. He was going to be one who was going to immediately make Israel great again. They were already wearing their hats. But Jesus didn't come to make Israel great again. He didn't come to rebuild their military and to strengthen their borders. He didn't come to wipe out corruption. He didn't come to improve health care or education. And there was a lot of people that they just, that's what they were looking, they were expecting. They were expecting this great political and military leader. And that's not what Jesus came to be. And you know, there were those who had come before Jesus that they thought, they wondered at the time if those people were the Messiah. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast." And then he says, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. For if they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." I tell you what, I could take some time to explain this, but I think that for most of you, you already got a pretty good handle on what Jesus is saying here. And the point is, things aren't going to be the way they were in the past. I did not come to make you just super Israel. I didn't come to make Israel's stock market the strongest ever. I didn't come for any of those. I came to do something that's completely different than all that. I came to change everything about the human race in their relationship with God. That's much, much bigger. And you have to stop thinking in the old ways. You have to be open that I've got something new I'm going to do. And that's the message that we're getting from the Lord in Isaiah. He is saying, "I am doing a new thing." And I want to tell you what, if you are a Jesus-loving, a walking with Jesus type of person, you need to understand that our Lord is a living and active Lord, and he's doing new things. And we just need to keep in step with him. Sometimes we expect him to come back and for things to be the way they used to be. And that's just us kind of thinking in a limited way. Just thinking maybe that's the only way things have ever been done. And we need to be open that maybe he's going to do something in a completely different way. I'll tell you what, we're seeing various trends in our world today, in society. One thing people are saying is that the day and age of the big box mega church is kind of slowing down. Now you think about it, 20 years ago there was no such thing as big box mega churches. And but for these last 20 years, we've seen them pop up all over the country. No one had any idea that that was going to happen. I mean, everybody just thought things were kind of going to continue the way they had. I know the town I grew up in, every single person was Catholic, I think, except for my family. In my town, they had a whole bunch of Catholic churches. In fact, in the town I grew up in, like when you're a little kid going to school, if you wanted to have hot lunch or if you wanted to have milk, you had to pay for them in your class, and then you'd have tickets to take to the lunchroom. And they also collected money for CCD, and the school buses took you to the Catholic church after church for your religious education. Now, everybody just kind of thought that's the way it would always be. And I'll tell you what, the big Catholic church that was down the street from me, that's like a retirement home. Another church they converted, and it's turned into a person's house. I was driving by the last time I visited my mom and trying to think, it's hard to imagine that used to be a church, but it did. They just made a bunch of changes, and someone lives in the thing now. You see, times have changed. Right now, the big, huge church in our town is real life. I mean, wow. A lot of ministries, wonderful facilities. But all you have to do is go back 12 years in our town. The big church in our town was Celebration of Praise. Everybody talked about it because it was a church that was designed with a bowling alley. It was a church with a swimming pool. Big basketball. It had everything. You walked in and they had these specially made chandeliers. They had this special black onyx stone on the floor. I mean, it was just amazing. Everything about it. And they had all the furniture specially made. I remember the platform furniture. They had some specialty craftsmen hand build all the furniture that went up on the platform. Very, very stylish. I don't know what you'd want to call it. But right now, I can take you to the building, and it is considered a community building. And they have public offices there, and the Boys and Girls Club is what uses the gym today. And you probably wouldn't even believe that it used to be a church. It's something else. Now you can say, did the cause of Jesus Christ end in our town because Celebration of Praise Church doesn't exist anymore? No. The cause of Christ went on. That particular church and building isn't a church anymore. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ continued. Absolutely continued. And sometimes we can mourn when changes happen. We can feel bad. If you walk into my house, as soon as you walk in, you are going to see a pew from an old church. And I don't think the church exists anymore. But there was a time when that little seat that I got when you walk in my house, they used to be up on a platform in a little Baptist church. Shay refinished it for us, and it looks beautiful, and I love the thing. Now, did that particular church building continue on being a church building? No. Did that particular local congregation, is it still there? No. But did the work continue? Yes. Pastor Scott talks, you spend any time with him, he's going to talk about Bloomsburg Church. He's got so many wonderful memories. The Bloomsburg Church that he grew up in doesn't exist anymore. Now, does the work of the Lord Jesus Christ go on? Absolutely it does. Now, where does that leave us? That leaves us, we need to understand that as we go through, there are things that we are a part of because we're supposed to be a part of. But our primary commitment is walking with Him. And we just need to be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit. And we need to understand that there's nothing in this world that can ever separate us from Him. There's nothing that can ever stop His work in this world. There's nothing that can stop it, that God is greater than. But you know, often there's these human institutions we have and human things that build, that things change. And that's okay. And we need to be sensitive to what's God doing now. That's where we need to be. And that's where He wants us to be. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And then the next thing He talks about is ways that He will provide. The first way He will provide is He promises to be one who will provide direction. I'll make a way in the desert. I'll give you direction. Now, what would happen in the United States? God forbid. What if we saw this huge decline in Christianity in the United States? What if every single tax advantage that goes to help churches and ministers immediately disappeared? What if they started doing something crazy? What if they started to double tax churches? What if they decided to confiscate church lands? I'm telling you right now, this place would get leveled in a second. It would probably be a medical plaza. But does anything change with my relationship between me and the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely no. Does God done with me? Absolutely not. It's just that times will be difficult. And it will require me to hold close and hold tight in realizing that if my walk with Him is something that I really value and cherish, then I need to be very intentional about my walk with Him. And I think sometimes when everything's going good, I think we can sometimes not recognize just how important some things are. I mean, sometimes people are like that with marriages. You know, it's not until tough times come that you realize how good you had it. You know? But His promise is that even if we face the most difficult time of all, He says, I will provide you direction. I will make a way. And I will provide what you need. There will be streams in the wasteland. I've got this wonderful set of church history books where Kenneth Scott LaTourette, he talks about the history of the church from the 100 years before Christ up through when He died in the 1970s. And that first volume is so exciting because it talks about the initial growth of the church. But the second volume is exciting in a different way, because in the second volume, He talks about the years of decline. You see, after Muhammad and the rise of Islam happened, the word Islam means submission. And as the Muslim influence spread, churches got torn down or converted into mosques, Bibles got destroyed, and there was tremendous pressure to convert or suffer. And so you saw all these lands that had been Christian lands that just got wiped out. But the exciting thing was that there were those who loved the Lord who they continued on. There was a monastic movement that arose at that time. There were people that believed that the scriptures and Christian teachings needed to be preserved and passed on. So there were people who literally pulled away from society and lived in these small groups tucked away, and they gave their lives to copying scripture and copying important Christian works so that they could be distributed, stored, distributed, and preserved for the future. These people that were part of these groups gave up everything they had in the world for the cause of Christ. And you found in areas where there was absolute pressure to stomp out Christianity, they were unable to do so because God's people, holding on to Him, found a way through the wilderness. And they found that God provided for them. I mean, it's been such a shock these past years just realizing how the church has grown in China, who tried to stomp it out. And to hear the news just recently in the past year that the fastest growing, where the church is growing the fastest in the world right now is in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Who would have thought? You know how it's going on? It's going on in houses. It's house churches. And you know who's making it happen? The little ladies under the burqas. Because you don't want to look under the burqa. Here comes the lady up the street, and all you can see is a little slit of her eyes. And you got these sneaky Christian women. Who knows what they got hid under the burqa? And they're all, their heads are down. You think they're going to the market. They're not going to the market. They're going over there meeting at somebody's house. And all of a sudden, one of them pulls out a little bit of scripture. And they're reading it, and they're praying together, and they're talking about it with their families. And what's happening is, the truth is that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in the world. And you start hearing about this Jesus, and all of a sudden, it gets you thinking and more thinking. You want to hear more and learn more, and so they're sharing it with others. And it's like the Islamic Republic of Iran isn't so Islamic after all. The people at the top are pounding their fists on the table, but behind the scenes, you got the little ladies under the burqas. You see, because God had made a way through the desert. He had provided streams. Somehow, God's word got in there. Right now, the most closed place on planet Earth is North Korea. Oh, man, if you got caught trying to bring a Bible in that place... It's closed to tourists from most countries. But there's this movement, and the movement is Chinese Christians who can go visit over there. And Chinese Christians can get things in that people in other parts of the world can't. And just mark my words, eventually we're going to find out that God had been working. And it was behind the scenes. You know, everybody thinks that all was lost, all was not lost. And for us, like Isaiah says, like God says through him, we need to forget the things, former things, and we do not need to dwell on the past because God is doing a new thing. We just need to walk in step with him. And we need to trust, even if we're walking down path that seems so new to us that we're not sure where it's going to lead, don't fret about it. Walking with him is going to be fine. Who knows where it's going to lead? That's okay. This week, as I've been thinking about the scripture, I had somebody I haven't seen for a year come by my house. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen this person in a year. And I care about them greatly. And they told me the reason they stopped by. And I was thinking to myself, I'm wondering if God sent this person by. So I asked them before they left, I said, why'd you really come here? They said, and they told me the reason again. And I said, I think God probably sent you here. They got all quiet. And I thought, shoot, I'm just going to go for it. I said, can I pray with you? And they go, okay. I prayed. They wept. I have no idea what became of it. Who knows? I don't know. But I know that as we walk, if we're living in the light right now, God's going to work things out. It's hard to tell how things are going to work out, but it's going to be good. It's like, Brother Dan, I'm going to use you as a little bit of an illustration. Brother Dan's got a lot of things in life right now. And it's like, it's hard to tell how lots of things are going to work out. But I'll just tell you, if he will walk with the Lord one step at a time, who knows how things are going to work out? But I know that the Lord will be with him in this step, and the Lord will be him with him in this step, and the Lord will be with him in this step. And every single step he takes, God's going to be with him. God's going to give him wisdom. God's going to open up doors. I know that he is going to have joy in the midst of whatever he does. He's going to have a peace that doesn't make sense. Because maybe at some step along the way, you'd say, everything on the outside looks like it's time to be discouraged. But as he gets on his knees and he talks to the Lord just breathes life into him and gives him strength and encouragement to go on for one more step. And I just remember one time when I was talking to you, Jim, I asked you when Scuddy was so bad, I'm like, how do you do it? And he goes, I do it one day at a time. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I get up in the morning and I thank God that he's given me the opportunity to live a new day. And I ask him how I can serve him and walk with him. And he goes, I go through my day and I walk with the Lord and I do my best. And I come to the end of the day and I thank God that I had that day. And I go to bed and I get up in the morning and I do it again. I live it one day at a time. And he goes, that's the only way I can do it right now. But he goes, I'll tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful. So again, let's wrap it up. He's doing a new thing. Who knows what the future is going to hold? We don't need to worry about that. The future is in God's hands. We just need to be in God's hands and walk with him. We need to enjoy him. We need to not dwell on the past. We need to not give our fear much time at all. We just need to kind of just say, I'm just going to enjoy your presence, Lord. I am going to be paying attention for opportunities to see you guiding me. I'm going to pay attention, Lord. Maybe these unusual circumstances that came up, maybe you are sending something my way. Maybe you're teaching me something. Maybe you're going to give me an opportunity. But I'm going to live each day with this idea that you're going to walk with me. You're going to show me stuff. You're going to put me where I need to be. And it's going to be okay. Because he's doing a new thing. Let's pray. And then Pastor Scott will come up. Close it out. Dear God, we belong to you. Again, we don't know what this week's going to hold. But Father, that's okay. Because whatever the week holds, we know, Lord, you got a place that we belong in, and we got a job to do. I ask you to bless our families. I ask you to bless our homes. I ask you to bless our town. I ask you to bless our country. And I ask you to bless our world. And Lord, the thing we hunger and thirst for is not the blessings. We hunger and thirst for you. And you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.